Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Good morning and welcome to Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Business Positioning Strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 70 countries, such as United States, Canada, Norway, Malaysia, India, all across Europe, and all the way to New Zealand and Australia. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on Blog Talk Radio Network and join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. I ask that you subscribe. Please subscribe to Life Transformation Radio wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Himalaya app, the Google Play Music app. We are available wherever you are listening to podcasts. On the show, I bring on entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters and authors who are amazing at what they do and are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on the show during our live broadcast, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. And with that, please help me welcome to the show, Shanti Yugini. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Sean. Namaste. It's such an honor, such a blessing to be with you.
I am super pumped to have you on the show. I haven't done this type of topic very often. I think I've done maybe one, maybe two that had something to do with yoga. Tops. This is something that that I'm fascinated with just because of its origin and the way that you know, it's not just breathing. Like, I talk about mindfulness, right? Not just breathing or meditation, not just closing your eyes and humming or, you know, all these like stigmas around this stuff. Like, I love to talk about this because there's a bunch of different stigmas and then there's a bunch of different categories of it. And it's just, I can't think of a better person to bring on the show to talk about yoga and the positive effects that it has in your life. So if you're ready, let's do this.
Yes.
All right. This episode is titled Yoga for Happiness with Shanti Yugini. She is a 2-minute yoga master who teaches yoga not as a fitness exercise, but as an integrated therapy comprising the science and art of posture, breath, food, affirmation, stillness, dance, and many more. She offers simple 2-minute practices to instantly change any negative stories we may be telling ourselves and others to positive ones so that we may live our greatest possible dream life. Shanti is a number one international best-selling author twice and a speaker who offers eye-opening presentation of yoga, not merely as a solution for life problems, but as a path to live to one's highest potential. Shanti trains world-class leaders and teachers through yoga in its authentic, pristine, and purest form. She helps people create and narrate their story through dance, thus healing from past hurts. Shanti, a former software engineer, comes from a lineage of yoga masters. And Shanti's free gift to the listeners, you can download her free book at happinessthekeytosuccess.com. Free download of Shanti's book is available at happinessthekeytosuccess.com. Inside of the show notes, you have her webpage, Yoga for Happiness www.lifetransformationradio.com, and Facebook and LinkedIn is all there in the show notes as well. Connect with her, click the links, copy and paste them into the browser, or just search in there for Facebook and LinkedIn, Yoga for Happiness Academy on Facebook, Shanti Yoga for Happiness on LinkedIn. Connect with her. She is absolutely incredible. So, Shanti, the first question I have to ask you is, what is your why? Why did you choose yoga? Why, you know, write the books that you've written and speak? And, like, what is your deep, deep why for what you do?
Oh, thanks, Sean, for the beautiful introduction, and thanks for this question. Well, it's not that I really chose yoga as part of my life, because I, being born and raised in India, was already into a yogic lifestyle, even without knowing that it was yogic lifestyle. It had kind of seeped into the very life, and not the yoga postures, which is more modern, in the modern days is associated, the solely associated thing for yoga, but it is the lifestyle itself, the way we eat, our attitudes, the way we start the day. So everything was, you know, in congruence with the ultimate goal of yoga, which means union. So yoga itself, literally, it comes from the root word called yuj, and yuj means to yoke, to unite, to connect, to join. So the entire lifestyle itself was something that can facilitate this union on several levels, whether it's union of us with the God, with the divine, or the union of myself with the rest of the universe, or it's the union within my own self, with my body, my mind, the things all within me in sync, united in one place. So this was so like that. But so I was introduced to many other aspects of yoga, not exactly the yoga posture per se. In fact, my father, my guru, he never did a single yoga pose. And still I consider him the best yogi who introduced me to many other yogis who never did any yoga pose. So it had kind of become a part of my life. And I was practicing. And of course, much later, I did, of course, start the yoga postures. But much later in life, as I came to the US, I was a single parent, and I noticed how the, you know, I was going through certain negative emotions. But it is all the aspects of yoga that once I became aware that I need to heal myself and I need to come to a place of absolute joy, not just getting by life, but it is, you know, every day wake up with passion, with love, with joy. And once I decided this is what I had to do, I went back to the roots of everything I learned, every aspect of yoga I was taught, I grew up with, and I slowly healed and I found my life completely transformed. I was no more the, you know, the person with any kind of negative emotion that I was for a period of about 2-3 years. So once I overcame that, slowly the desire that this should become my path, that I should not be doing software anymore, because I didn't feel that I was able to connect with people and I'm a more people's person. I felt I was doing interacting with machines more than people. So that's when the, you know, the desire that I have to give up software and go into this full time so that I can help other people like me see how even simple practices in yoga, just 2 minutes at a time, how these can transform their life and bring them to a positive state. So that is my why, as to why I am doing this as my full-time service to the community, because it shows the path for happiness. And of course, happiness is the only thing that all of us are seeking, no matter what we do in life. And yet we may feel a sense of gap, but this is this yoga with its many tools and techniques gives us simple ways to feel that joy and happiness within.
Love it. Love it. And thank you so much for sharing. So what was a transformational moment in your life that put you on the path to what you're doing? Was it being introduced to all of them by your parents, coming from the long lineage of yogis? What do you think was the catalyst, that transformational moment that changed your life?
So if I have to say, I mean, I know I was introduced to it and I knew the benefits growing up, but it wasn't the time that told me that that had to be my path, because I chose the path of engineering, you know, like a stereotype in India, everybody first tries to go into medicine. And if you don't get sufficient marks to get into a free seat in medicine, then the next thing, the lucrative one, is engineering. So I was able to procure a free, seat with scholarship in engineering. So it was more like, okay, I didn't get that. I go into this because it's great to call yourself an engineer. So I just went by that path, even though my father, my guru, told me that you are more a people's, I think you're good at teaching and you should be choosing a teaching profession. But nevertheless, I didn't listen to him. So that was not the time when I thought that I should go into yoga. It was more so I did my engineering, went into software, and I was working. And then through a software job, I came here. And when I came here, I came with my one-year-old daughter, and I was a single parent at the time. So that, and I really felt I was such a misfit everywhere. I was a misfit amidst my own Indian community, because a single parent was not something that is, usually heard of in our community.
Right.
And I couldn't quite fit into, the other. I even in the first, workshop I did was in a church in California, where they were actually conducting it for single parents to be like a better parent. And I couldn't really fit into that group, except that I gained a lot from the talks and the discussions by the teacher. But the other people, I felt that they had so many so much things burdening them, and they couldn't get over things of even divorces that happened 8 to 10 years back. And I don't know, I felt that those were not my problems, so I couldn't really fit into that group. But I was feeling a lot of sense of shame, guilt,
right.
Regrets, and all those negative things, trying to hide the truth from my community. And I never wanted to tell anyone I was a single parent, and I was afraid that will they find out I'm trying to hide. So it was just not the bold, courageous girl I used to be, growing up. So one day that awareness, came, why do I have to be like this? Why am I afraid? Why should I hide? What am I trying to run away from? And why do I feel like a victim? So when these questions came, I was actually asking myself three main questions. So am I being present? Am I free? Am I giving? So am I present to all the good things that were happening to me? I had to say no at that point, because I was not appreciative of the things, but I was thinking more of the past, the future, and I wasn't being present. And was I free? I was not. Because I was really caught up in all these emotions. I didn't feel any internal freedom. Even though I'm living in a country that is, completely free, and I was born in a country that's the biggest democracy in the world, and still I inside didn't feel that freedom. Am I giving? And I realized I wasn't giving much to the community. I was too concerned about my daughter, her future, myself, my past, and I had so many talents, and I was doing so much while I was back in my country there. And coming here, I just wasn't doing anything. So I was simply answering no to all these questions. And that moment of awareness came that, no, this has to change. I just need to be, you know, that joyous, the person who was always in community doing so much social work. So I had to do that healing process myself. I began to, you know, meditate again. I began to practice dance. I began to practice my yoga postures. And I spent time. So all those things, you know, I started doing. And I found that slowly I was coming out of all those negative emotions. I never felt like a victim anymore. I felt courageous, and I didn't feel anything when someone asked, like, where's your husband? And I said, no, I'm a single parent. And I could say it with smile and not feeling ashamed of it, or like I was dysfunctional, or with none of those negative things. So I knew that I was healing, and I came to a point, and I began to do a lot of volunteer work. Like, I was a volunteer entertainer for many assisted living homes, senior centers. I was doing my dancing, and I was teaching them yoga, whatever I had learned there. And I wasn't like certified as a yoga teacher, but I was teaching what I learned. And so once I saw what I could be from where I was, so that was when I had completely healed. I had become so joyous every day. And that is when the desire that I have to give up my software, I have to resign, I have to do what it takes to do this yoga and dance full time. So this desire came, and I had to just wait for my my permanent residence to be completed. So the green card, and the day it came, that was that day I gave like a notice to my company saying that I was going to resign my job. And meanwhile, before I resigned, I did a yoga teachers training program here. And then once I resigned, I took off to India for an year, because I knew that I needed to do a lot more studying and learning to completely prepare myself to offer this, you know, fabulous the science and art of yoga in its authentic form. So I went there. I did another teachers training program. I did digital programs. And I did many other weekend programs, and I put my daughter for 1 year studying over there. So then I came back, and so that is how actually the transformation happened, as to how I moved from the job I was doing to, I decided that this is going to be how I want to serve the world.
That's awesome. It's an amazing story. There's a lot of perseverance here and there, and a lot of, like, don't quit, follow, you know, like, you're on this path, you're on this journey, and you're doing whatever it takes to stay on that journey. I love that.
Thank you.
That's amazing. So here you are. So you're in the United States, yes?
Yeah. I am in the United States, in currently in the state of Rhode Island.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Okay. So I love your story. I love your story. Is it a cultural thing? Cause you said that you were looked at as like a misfit because you were a single parent. And in America, it is not uncommon to be a single parent. Now, I mean, I think the divorce rate's up to like over 50% of people get divorced. I mean, it's what happens, you know, it's normal. You meet a lot of single parents. But is it a cultural thing that, like, that's not supposed to happen?
Yeah, they don't. It's, divorce is was never common, you know, there, because the way life is looked at, the way marriage is looked at, it's all completely different. It's a very different perspective. Okay. It's a very different kind of commitment. It's never about, it's always about, like, you know, how do I make it work? What do I need to do? It was never like, oh, this doesn't work, so let me quit. You know, it was never like that. They were not quitting.
Wow.
And it's kind of, that is how it had always been. They were working to see, I mean, how can we make it work? What sacrifice do I need to do? And always the kids were placed in the top. So I think even at some point, if the couple felt that they were not fitting in well, it was always for the sake of children. It was always a complete family. It was never like, oh, now mom has left dad, or it wasn't like that. Yes.
Wow. You know, what I hear a lot of is, you know, don't stay with someone just for the kids. That's not a reason to stay with somebody. You got to love each other, and you got to, like, all this other, you know, whatever. And you know, at some point, you know, I wish that people had that mentality. Like, you make it work. Like, you just make it happen because you made a commitment. Like, me and my wife, we got divorced 8 months later. You know, like, we got married, and then 8 months later, we were getting divorced. Like, it just, you know, outside of if you're a terrible person, you know what I mean? Like, if you're being physically abused and emotionally abused, I mean, I would never stay with someone, right? I mean, but if you just have, like, disagreements and arguments and things aren't going right, and you're like, yeah, maybe I don't love this person so much, and, you know, maybe I don't like him, you know what I mean? I like the mentality, though. Like, you make it work. You make it happen. Like,
because
you
Tell me, Sean.
Yeah, I wish more people would have that mentality that you know, that you have is like, you make it work no matter what, you know. And then if you've exhausted all of your options, sometimes it's like you just kind of have to, you know, divorce or, you know, whatever. But culturally, you're like, no, you make it work. Like, there is no divorce. you make it happen. You make it work. You suck it up.
It's actually considered as a path for your inner purification and for reaching higher realms in life, like to higher states of consciousness. So this, whatever we go through, and I think that is how we should take about all the any pains or any trauma or anything that happened in the past. It's always, it's part of your journey. It's happening because through that you have to grow out of it. You have to grow through it, you know. So that is how it is conceived. So if such and such a person, and it was not even that, you know, in our country, then it is never like you liked someone and then you married. It's always, you know, it was arranged marriage, except in my case, of course, I chose a person that my parents didn't want. So that is a completely different story. But I'm saying that right. Otherwise, you know, they choose the person and you marry. So it's, and it is always considered as, you know, okay, this is what is given to me. This is what I have received. And it's for a reason. It's for a greater good. And I'm going to grow through it. This is my path to go to the next level in my life. So that is how it was considered. And that is why, you know, divorce was not considered as an option. Like, okay, this person doesn't suit me, I'll find another person. It wasn't thought of like that.
Wow. All right, then. So going forward, I love the story, you know, of your transformational moments. So you're in America. You start getting into the practice, you start, you know, the healing process and, like, all of that journey in itself. How are you now elevating the world around you using yoga and what you've been taught your whole life? How do you elevate the world around you?
Well, initially, of course, I used to teach in groups and, but I always was teaching in a way very, very different from how yoga is taught in typical studios, because I always see it as a path for empowerment and as a path that someone can adopt and, I mean, apply and integrate into their own life. So I always have a syllabus that I would take them through, and therefore it's not like anyone can drop in anytime. I mean, it is a science like any other science of physics, chemistry, mathematics, and you don't expect people to drop into a mathematics class and, you know, leave with total understanding. So they have to commit and come for this many classes. So that is how always my thing was, like whoever joined the, you know, day one, I took them through about like, you know, 18 hours totally, and they stayed for the 18 hours. And I told them that you have now all the fundamentals to continue for the rest of your life. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to go to anybody else. You have what it takes for you to maintain a good health, a calm mind, a clear mind, have clarity in life. And so this is how I was, you know, I started with, and of course, then it slowly evolved into, I wanted to expand and do it more online. So I was finding, you know, ways to learn things of the online and how to do webinars and how to create digital products. How can I serve people who don't live around me, but who still could benefit a lot? So I transitioned. I mean, I went through that phase, and then I thought, like, the more and more I came to know how much yoga is misunderstood, misrepresented, and how all that people can think of is just yoga classes, postures in a yoga studio, and that's all they can associate yoga with. I realized that it's time that I focus on creating more, you know, training more yoga teachers who can understand yoga from its fundamentals and who can in turn help their students with very simple practices and in short time. Like, how can the teacher make the student independent of the teacher? Because that is being a true teacher. So I went into actually doing the teacher training programs, and so I did them in person initially, and then I thought that, okay, at least in the initial phases, somebody can do this through digital media. So I started putting those thing into digital programs with assignments, and so with me having good time to even interact with them. And of course, in the final stage, because no one can become a teacher just through digital way, so then we can meet together for 8-10 days in a retreat center, and we can live together, so they understand what is yogic way of life, yogic way of eating. And I can also see that they have grasped the subject matter, at the essential ones, and they know how to impart it to their students the right way. So now I designed that. And so this is the way currently, you know, I am looking at serving a larger number of population through giving the right education on yoga. Again, very simple practices, which doesn't even need to involve yoga postures. It can be simply a minute of breathing, 2 minutes of meditation, one simple affirmation that you repeat over like a chant. You know, you repeat it 20 times and boom, you know, like your mental state changes. And from a state of feeling really weak and disempowered, you can become empowered and strong by just saying that simple sentence, that affirmation. So there are so many simple ways to make our life better, and we don't need to do any rigorous training or anything hard. So that is the way now my path is, and that's why I wrote the book too, because I thought that's a very easy way for many people to have an understanding and incorporate the things in their life. So book is a very simple way to reach the masses. So the journey goes on.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the book. The book is called what? Where is it located? You know, online or whatever? And why should people buy it?
So the book is called Happiness, the Key to Success.
Mm-hmm.
12 Meditation Steps to Uncover Your Joy Healing Success.
Love it. Where can we get it? You know, obviously on the website, but I mean, is it available on Amazon, Goodreads?
It's available on Amazon. It's also available on my website.
Perfect.
If they go to the site where they download it for, yeah, actually I wrote a huge book, and so I split it up into four sub books. So the book one is what people can download it, because it was so humongous. Like, I have the tendency to go into depth. That's the way I teach. Like, I go into fundamentals. So what I started with writing, I thought I would just write a 100-page book, but that became like a 380 pages. So I thought I have to just simplify it so it's not overwhelming for people. So I split it up into four parts and four books. So I made it like a book series. So people can download the book one for free. And then if they are interested, because I noticed that even book one was giving so much benefit for many people. And even without reading the rest, they were getting a lot and making transformational, changes in their life. And so I thought, okay, this should become free for everyone, because even if they didn't buy the rest, they could still get a lot out of this. So they can get the rest from my website, from Amazon.
Okay, perfect. And then you got the free download at happinessthekeytosuccess.com, all one word, happinessthekeytosuccess.com. So moving forward, what does the rest of 2019 hold for you?
2019, oh, there are so many projects lined up.
I know, right?
I'm really, excited because I was asked to teach for the kids, like a digital program. So some app developers approached me. So how to teach the ancient language called Sanskrit. Of course, it's called Sanskritam in that language. But how to teach that through online. So I'm creating videos for that. And I also attended a festival of like music and dance festival. And I set up a table and I was trying to tell them how to use the power of yoga to be a better singer and a better dancer. So how to have the stamina, strength, the power to hold the notes, the balance, and the mental calmness and the relaxation before you enter the stage. So that I'm developing. So there are so many things. I have a lot of desires. So there are so many things.
Right.
And of course, trying to also speak more on stages. So I'm getting my speaking page ready on the website, and there is so much to do. I think there's no reason for anyone to feel bored. I would wonder, like, why would people want to feel bored and say, I don't know what to do? There is so much to do in life if we put our mind.
Right. No, I 100% agree with you. So let's do this. Let's do a shameless plug. You can plug friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, your programs, products, and service, whatever it is that you want the audience to know and to do. Shameless plug moment. Go.
Oh. I see. Okay. So I find amidst, as a first step in yoga, what I would want anyone to do is to learn how to breathe right. I breath is more important than even learning yoga postures, exercises. Breath is something we do every moment in our life. So it's very essential to learn to breathe right. And I have noticed that, if there were five people in my session, sometimes three people were not breathing right, sometimes four, sometimes two. So it's been sometimes even all the five have trouble breathing right. So I have a very small program. It's a 7-step program that I put together for breath, because I feel that is the first stage anyone should start with in their path in yoga. So that you can go to my website, and that is yogaforhappiness.com. And if you click on the store, there is this Breathe Right to Live Right. So I would really encourage, as a first step, for anyone who not only just wants the first step in yoga, but who wants to drastically improve their life, their physical health, their inner calmness, ability to relieve stress in a matter of seconds. All that is possible, it's through that program. So I would encourage you to go there and, get that program out for your own life.
Right. Yep. Awesome. So I have to ask you one last question before we close the show.
Uh-huh.
Give us a nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today.
So everything we do in life, the one driving force is happiness. If I went into engineering, it was because I wanted happiness out of it. If I resigned my software job, it was because I would be happier resigning it. So every action of ours is driven by that. So if you want true happiness, not the happiness that comes from outside, from material things, the happiness that comes and goes, but true happiness that is always within you, that seems as though it is covered and we don't see, but that once we are able to get in touch with that inner being, it's like connecting your phone to the electric outlet and instant it gets charged. So that way, if we can plug into that inner being, which is the source of happiness, the source of peace, love, joy, everything, then if that is your interest, that is your goal, that is what you want, then I would encourage you to take the step, a simple step, not asking you to go find a studio, sign up and register for a 6-month course or anything. Just take one single step to connect to that inner being in you. And that is possible even with as simple as your breath. And once you learn to breathe it right, you can just do it anytime on your own. It can be a simple breath, a simple affirmation. Take some action because you have the power to create a future for you. You alone have the power to create that new future, that dream life, that awesome life that you truly deserve, that you are capable of. That is your birthright.
I love it. Oh, my God, I love it. So good. And it's so true. Why do something that you hate or are miserable doing because you feel like it's something you have to do? Why not do something you love and do something that makes you happy? You get so much more joy out of doing things that make you happy over things that are forced or things that are miserable because somebody else wants you to do it. If you inside, you as a person are not happy, then you're going to be an unhappy person to a lot of people around you. And that's not good either.
Yeah. The best service we can do to others is just being happy by ourselves. Because once there is joy inside, we can touch so many lives. But if I am unhappy, then I am a sucker. I am going to draw everyone's attention and I'm going to seek other people's help to just make me feel better. So that is not giving back to the community. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then you become someone who just sucks the energy out of the room.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been amazing. I learned some things, and I want to honor you and thank you for the time that you've spent here with our listeners on Life Transformation Radio.
Thank you so much, Sean, for having me here and giving me an opportunity to share what little I know.
You're absolutely welcome. I'm glad we finally got to do this. Finally.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, this was awesome. So again, thank you so much for sharing your brilliance, sharing your story, and sharing your why with the Life Transformation Radio listeners.
Thank you.
And with that, we close the door on this episode of Life Transformation Radio. To the listeners, if anything resonated with you, please connect with Shanthi Yogini. Go to happinessthekeytosuccess.com and get the free download of her book. Connect with her on Facebook and LinkedIn. Go to her webpage, yogaforhappiness.com. Connect with her, get into what she is doing, and if you have any questions, connect with her. So as we close the show, I always ask, please rate and review the episodes that you listen to so that we know how well we're doing. We always love reading the comments, reading the rates and reviews, and maybe we'll start reading them on the air. And with that, subscribe to Life Transformation Radio and live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.